Bro.
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 Bro. Daniel Bryan is the 9/11 of WrestleMania 34. It's a joke, right? But out of context, that shit sounds terrible.
Heel Nakamura is best for business. The Nutcracker Prince, or whatever you want to call him, I'm all about it.
That's a t-shirt. Well, he was right about this. Well, of course he was, man. He also predicted three other things to happen with that same prediction, like.
Bro.
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 Say hello to the bald guy
and bow down to your king.
This is Drive By.
What a rush.
Welcome, welcome. I am Mike Shooter Marcus. He is the King of Nerds, Mike Forrest, and we are the Mics on Mics. What's going on, King?
Not much, man. Another day, another dollar holler, if you hear me.
I do hear you, Ham Cubes. I do hear you. Speaking of people saying stupid things, man, do we got a doozy for you guys today. This show is going to be, I don't want to say completely different than anything we've ever done, but we used to do, back in the day, a segment we called Who Says Something Dumb. I believe our very first feature, correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, but was Superstar Billy Graham. Was that our very first one?
Superstar Billy Graham kind of kicked it off.
Yeah, definitely. And it was like a little 10-minute segment, whatever. This is going to be the whole show, guys. We got a loaded thing that started by me basically wanting to research what Legion of Doom member, Road Warrior Animal, had said about the man, Becky Lynch, because it caught the dirt sheets and caught the headlines and made headlines, even getting a response from Becky Lynch herself. So I didn't want to just read it. I thought, you know what, I'm going to listen to it so I have the full context, because let's be real, some of these guys will print this stuff and run these stories, and they don't really tell the full kind of story of what is said, correct?
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly a regular problem.
Right. So I punish myself and listen to this whole podcast, and I say I punish myself because you listened to it, sent me a text telling me that you fucking hated me for making you listen to this, and I'm going to one-up you, sir. I listened to it twice.
Oh, I actually stopped with like 3 minutes left. I said, I'm done. I don't care about what they talked about in this last 3 minutes. It can't possibly be of any importance whatsoever.
So, we're going to go through this almost entire podcast, segment for segment, topic for topic with them, and just kind of go along with what was said and how it was presented and how wrong a majority of it was. The podcast we are talking about, of course, is What a Rush podcast featuring Animal and his co-host is named Joe. So when I'm speaking of Animal, I will say Animal because his name is also Joe. When I say Joe, it's a co-host, so we're not getting confused. I'm laying this all out for you guys. So you ready to do this, Mike?
Yeah, let's jump into it.
Okay, this show was a few weeks ago, right after TLC and the Monday Night Raw that featured the McMahons coming out to the ring and stating, you know, we're going to shake things up. So the show starts with the co-host Joe saying Merry Christmas and Animal giving a bah humbug. And that's, of course, if you watch TLC and Monday Night Raw. So I'm already annoyed by his, you know, old-timer, almost smarky attitude, right?
Oh, he comes off just like the worst combination of old-timer and New Japan wrestling fan.
Right. So, they're getting into their talk, Mike, and Animal starts talking about all the different wrestling companies that are popping up, talking about a resurgence in the NWA and this company that's popping up in Texas, and he mentions the rumor without calling it a rumor. He just says, and we're getting calls it Elite Wrestling. We're getting Elite Wrestling soon. And he talks about how he reached out to the Young Bucks and JR, saying that he could help them with the tag team division. You know, because if anybody needs help figuring out a tag team division, it's clearly the Young Bucks. They're horrible, right?
Yeah, well, that's not just what he said. He also said, because you need an old superstar, someone who's climbed the mountain and won it all, to help sell shows, you know, kind of the way that the WWE still brings back Mick Foley and Shawn Michaels. What? Okay, right. So let's concentrate on this tag team thing first. Like, you know, he's not like 100% out of his mind thinking, you know, one of the greatest tag team wrestlers of all time. Throw my hat in the ring here, you know? I get that. But, like, they don't fucking need you.
No.
They don't fucking need you. You weren't good. You didn't know how to book. You weren't a booker. I never in my life have I heard ever about Animal having the book backstage, being the guy, or even sitting in the fucking room with the people that made the decisions. So I don't... Like, and then let's get on this Foley and HBK thing. First of all, I'm not taking anything away from Animal. Dude is a legend.
Let me pause for a minute, because this is going to get deep real quick. All due respect to what Animal did and Hawk did in the ring. Hawk's unfortunately fodder for this just because he's part of that team. They're tag team legends, no doubt. They were one of my favorite tag teams as a kid. That said, this is not... We're talking about the person, not the character right now. So.
Okay. Unpause. I was never even really like a big fan of them, so it's kind of whatever to me.
I was probably a bigger Demolition fan, to be fair, but that said, I still enjoyed LOD.
So, let's get back to this. You never won shit, okay? I don't give a fuck you won the WCW tag titles, the NWA, the WWF. I don't give a fuck. Everybody has done that shit. There's literally dozens and dozens and dozens of wrestlers out there that have won fucking tag team titles. You have not done fuck. You've never sold out a show. You've never... No one ever came... I'm not going to say no one ever came to a show because he was on it. LOD was immensely popular. I'm sure there were house shows back in the day that sold out because they were there. But, bro, you never sold a fucking pay-per-view card out. A Mania...
No.
Never, you never packed a house at Mania because you were there. Like, you were nothing, man. You were fucking nothing. And in the grand scheme of things, once you moved to bigger places, once WCW quit being a fucking joke, and once you went to WWF, you were nothing but a side act, okay?
Yep,
you
were.
You were on the opening match when Shawn Michaels was crushing it at the end of fucking pay-per-views. When Mick Foley was bleeding and giving his life on the fucking line for us to enjoy, you were sitting in the fucking locker room with your feet up because you'd already been on the show. So quit fucking talking about yourself like you're these two guys, because you are fucking not.
Yep, and something I just want to throw out there, Mike, because
you are a legend, but you are not, and you never will be ever close to being one of those guys. There are legends, and then there are all-time fucking greats, and you are never, ever going to be close to an all-time great.
I agree. Something that I want to throw in there, because I've heard multiple shows in recent weeks do this, but... It's curious both ways that I hear multiple shows, talking heads, insiders, whatever, referring to All Elite Wrestling as a 100% guarantee. We already know what it is. And either they have inside knowledge, or this is what I secretly hope, just because of all these people saying this crap, that this is the biggest work ever by the Young Bucks, and all these people look like morons when it comes out, and it's not a thing.
Yeah, they're all just going to the dub.
I mean, and I'm still at, like, 50-50. I'm kind of leaning more towards, like, a little bit more than, like, a 65% chance that it's real, but, you know, still can't make those odds any much better. So they continue to talk about how healthy the wrestling business is. But then Animal goes on to say, this is kind of what you brought up, I'm kind of expanding on this, that they need to bring legends in to get the crowds. He uses the example of how WWE tries to do this with new guys, and that it doesn't work, and that's why they always fall back on the legends. And he kind of like infers, saying that, you know, that's why all the McMahons were on Raw and Triple H, because the ratings are in the toilet. And, you know, he says they promise change and it's all lies, which is hilarious. I mean, this is just the old timer speak. You and I just talked last week about how we feel like at least a little bit of it's sincere. I mean, and let's not forget, McMahon came out and basically announced the Attitude Era as a change, and it was legit. Like, they did change their programming. They came out, they said they were going to do it, and they did it. It's funny because, and I might have this mixed up with a different part of the show, but he also says Triple H once came out and promised change before taking over NXT, and he lied about that.
When?
What?
When did that happen?
I don't know, and for two, if he's talking about anything leading into NXT, NXT is the best WWE product they have. So
NXT might be the best wrestling product in the world right now.
Right, so if you're going to, like, try to compare that and say that it wasn't, I don't know, like, it's just the things that comes out of this guy's mouth are just, it's like he's not thinking before he speaks. He also says, as you brought up, Mike, in our chat, that being watched by 2 million homes is an insult to the business. When in Hawk's career, like, yes, he was kind of a small part of the Attitude Era, but let's be realistic. You kind of just basically put him in their place. They were a side act. They weren't responsible for that boom in the Attitude Era.
No, they
were. They were hangers-on.
They were hangers-on. First of all, you were only there so that there was a big-name tag team for the New Age Outlaws to get over on. That's right. It. You were the New Age Outlaw whipping boys.
And who were they? The young guys.
They were the young guys, the new guys coming in, spanking you. You were just there to get them over. And once they were over, you were gone because they didn't need you anymore, because they had the Hardy Boys, they had Edge and Christian, they had the Dudleys. Oh, man, we got all these great teams. What do we need this team that was never really great workers anyway? What do we need them for? It's just ridiculous to me. He's saying it's an insult to the business that they're only in 2 million people's homes. I say it's an insult to the business that no one else can figure out how to do a quarter of those fucking numbers. That's an insult to the business. Yeah. First of all, it's an insult to everything that WWE does is an insult to the business, to these old timers. Everything new that they try is an insult to the business. You know what's insulting to the business is that WWE is the only fucking company that's figured out how to keep this fucking industry alive for the last 20 years when it was dead in the fucking toilet after WCW died. Get the fuck out of here, Animal, you dumb shit.
Well said, well said.
Now, by the way, I'd like to point out that at this point in the show, we are only 7 minutes and 54 seconds into it. He said all this in less than 8 minutes.
Yep. So they go into talking a little bit of TLC.
He doesn't know how to pronounce Asuka. Let's get that out of here.
I'm getting to that. Hold on. I got meticulous notes here, Mike. So the co-host Joe says that there was some good and there was some really bad, which I disagree with. I enjoyed TLC.
Most of it was good. There was very little bad. There was more okay than there was bad.
Right, exactly. Animal says, yeah, I liked the girls match. Then pronounces Asuka as Asuka. 1 point I'll give him. He said the match was phenomenal, which I'm surprised he said.
You forgot to leave that his grandson comes in and corrects him.
Oh, it's I got it. But yes, his grandson comes in and corrects his pronunciation of Asuka, and he blames his mispronunciation on his Philadelphia accent.
Because the Philadelphia accent adds 3 letters in to a word.
Right, exactly. So he does say the match was phenomenal, which, I mean, yeah, it was. But he also says that I'm not sure that having Ronda dump that ladder while she's teetering on getting cheered or booed was the right move. And, I mean, I have to completely disagree with this statement. And this is going to be further expanded on with his idea of wrestling today, but this is a perfect way to incorporate the budding feud she has with both of these characters. So why wouldn't you do that?
I don't know. Because you need to something Ronda babyface.
Right, and that's his point, but I'm looking at it a completely different way, and we will get into that as we further expand on this, because there's parts of this that we have to touch on later. So he also said that, and this is another thing kind of against Ronda, that Nia Jax and Ronda Rousey's match was lackluster. And I, again, have to completely disagree. It's the second time, and probably the only the second time, I've seen Nia Jax look good. And both times were against Ronda Rousey, so I think that says a lot. And it was not a lackluster match by any means. It was one of the better matches on the card.
So it was a basic David versus Goliath match. This is the matchup you'd think he'd get the most out of anything, since he's so stuck in this 1980s booking.
Yeah, you would think so. So the co-host says that it seems like they're leading to a triple threat with Lynch, Rousey, and Charlotte. And he asks Animal, and this is where we're going to expand on this, if it's okay to have fans just like a match, or, you know, a setup for a match, do we have to have defined good guys versus bad guys? And Animal says that it's been that way for 150 years. The fans want to know who's good. They want to know who's bad. They want to know who to cheer. They want to know who to boo. And if you don't do that, then it's just too confusing, because we're fucking idiots, apparently.
You know what else lasted for 150 years? Fucking slavery.
Yeah, that was a horrible idea, wasn't it?
I mean, just because we've always done it, we think we should... never forget that you heard it here first, folks. Legion of Doom Road Warrior Animal advocates a return to slavery. You heard it here first. Road Warrior Animal, Joe Laurinaitis, advocates the return of slavery.
I mean, I thought that we put the whole, like, completely black and white heel face thing to bed with Stone Cold Steve Austin. Didn't we do that already?
I thought we did. I thought the 90s killed that. I thought that the 90s killed that like it did the Legion of Doom. Oh, snap.
Yeah. He goes on to say that when the women, and I'm not, this is not a quote, but this is pretty close. He's basically saying when the women are main eventing and having the best match on the card, there is an issue. I'm going to say that again. He said when the women are having the best match on the card and main eventing, there is an issue. This is not a pat on the back to the women. This is a slap in their face, and it's a disgusting statement.
Yeah, it's not. It sounds like he's saying the women are kicking ass, but really he's saying, men, you need to step it up because this is absurd. When really, we're in a day and age when you should just be looking at it as we've got all these amazing athletes and talent on the roster, and we should be happy that we can see good action regardless of the gender.
Yeah, and it's incredible, like, that, I don't want to say it's incredible because he's obviously, I guess we can call him an old-timer now, but, dude, to make that statement in this day and age, like, no matter how you mean it, phrasing it that way is horrendous.
Well,
and
he's just, yeah, that's just very bad. It's very bad to put, like, because he basically was like, look, the women are the B part of the show. We know it.
Yeah.
And you're doing worse than that. That's ridiculous.
And I'll kind of explain it this way. Do you know why the women are having better matches? And this is my opinion. But the women are main eventing and having better matches because of idiots who say shit like this that they feel like they have to prove. And hey, you know what? I'm kind of glad because they are putting on the best matches on the card. And that's not to take away and say, well, the men just aren't putting good matches on. Because look at Seth Rollins. You know, we can get into the TLC thing all we want, but 9 times out of 10, he can have the match of the night until Becky, Charlotte, Ronda, or one of these other women in this Revolution show up. And that's because they want to prove that they belong there because idiots like this say shit like this. they have something to fight for. The men really don't, because they've been there forever. And that is why they are continuing to be the best thing on TV, because they have to be hungry and they have to push, you know, to the next level. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I would agree. I would agree that a lot of this directly comes from this.
So, I mean, I guess I'm glad he said a moronic, idiotic, stupid thing like this, because it will just fuel these women to keep doing what they're doing. They continue, and as I just brought up, they're talking about the Rollins-Ambrose match at TLC, and Animal claims...
Before we get into that, let's go back to the women need a face and a heel.
Right.
Right? He says, amongst this, and I'll give him props because he can readily identify, he says the biggest thing they have going right now is Becky Lynch.
Yeah, he did say that.
But then he follows that up with, I tell you what I'd do. I'd have her back off this being the man thing and her tough guy gimmick and just have her be a straight baby face. So
what he wants to do
is have her back off everything that made her the hottest act in wrestling, which he readily identifies, and just go back to being like underdog Becky.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like how – I think that right there encapsulates everything that this man – like. That right there, in a nutshell, tells you everything you need to know. Like, if you listen to us talk about him no further, please know that right there, in a nutshell, shows you nothing. Like Sawita just had, you know, Steve, you did really cool with that Austin 316 drinking beer thing, but we're going to have you take a step away. We'd like you to be more like Bret Hart. Get the fuck out of here, man.
Yep. Yep. It's incredible. It's incredible. So out of touch, you know, and that's how I kind of phrase this to you. People want to talk about Vince McMahon being out of touch. Dude, this is as out of touch as I've heard in a long time. So on the Rollins-Ambrose thing, he's basically saying that the TLC match, this is boring chance that the match got happened because they do the same moves back to back. There's a back and forth, a give and take over and over. And then he says, you know, Hawk and I used to always do the same moves, but we did them at different times, so that's why it wasn't boring. What?
See, I was surprised he talked any shit about this match, because I thought, because this was a very methodical, like, 80s style
Again,
match.
Something you think he would like.
Yeah. So I don't understand what he wants. Like, he doesn't like when they do too much modern stuff. He doesn't like when it's his style stuff. But it's okay if you do the same moves as long as you just do them at different times.
At different times. Like it was such a confusing statement, I didn't even understand it. He then goes on to say that the company is trying to shove the IC title down people's throats and nobody cares about that title. What, like, this just further proves the out-of-touch thing. The IC title is the main title on Raw for the men because the Universal title was on Brock, who is a part-timer. Everybody loves Seth Rollins. Like, this statement couldn't be further off the mark than some of the other statements he's already made.
There's no better way to put it than how you said it. It was just as far off the mark as every other statement he's made.
Yeah, incredible, incredible. Let's take a quick break, Mike, and we come back. We're going to continue with this. We're going to move into a little bit more of what he said about TLC and some of these other guys and girls on the roster. Hang tight. We will be right back.
And now, a very special reading of the theme song to WKRP in Cincinnati by the Near Fall Network's own Enzo Amore. Baby. If you've ever wondered whatever became of me, I'm living on the air in Cincinnati. Cincinnati, WKRP. Got kinda tired of packing and unpacking, town to town and up and down the dial. How you doing? Maybe you and me were never meant to be, but baby, think of me once in a while. Heading up that highway, leaving you behind. Hardest thing I've ever had to do. Broke my heart in two, but baby, pay no mind. The price for finding me
was losing you. Memories help me hide my lonesome feeling. Far away from you and feeling low. It's getting late, my friend. I miss you so. Take good care of you.
I've gotta go.
Babe, if you've ever wondered whatever became of me, I'm living on the air in Cincinnati. Cincinnati, WKRP. How you doing, though? You know, as I was preparing for the show today. Jesus fucking Christ.
Are we... I mean, we didn't even get done with the fucking song, and you start...
Can this all finish, Mr. Forrest? Can for please, for one fucking week, can you let me fucking talk and work my fucking feelings out here? Therapists cost a lot of fucking money. Mr. Marcus, you are always very considerate of my feelings. Mr. Forrest, I come on here and you're a fucking asshole every fucking week, and I tell you what, there's those fucking out of you. You fucking hater.
All right, you know what, man? I'm gonna let you go. Go ahead.
Thank you. In preparation for today's show, this is okay. Across this theme song in it. Made the Zoe really think about his life in the WWF / the fans. I tell you what, I really got to missing everyone, and I hope that you're missing me too. The Zoe loves you. Have a great week. Mr. Marcus, as always, you've been a pleasure. Mr. Forrest, go fuck yourself. You know what, man? We're in a hurry, so I'm going to let this one go today. We're on a schedule today, so I'm going to let this one slide. But I am firing an employee at work tomorrow. Just to work this rage out.
Oh, shit's getting real, Mike. Shit's getting really, really real.
I mean, tell you what, were you not about three sentences in and you were like, oh, Jesus, I see where we're going with this one already?
As soon as it started, I said, oh, boy. Forrest is gonna kill this guy if he doesn't.
I mean, like, three sentences in, I was like, he picked the mopiest shit today.
So we go from bad to worse. we jump right back in, guys. We're back at the What a Rush podcast. We're dissecting this amazing intellectual wrestling talk from one half of the Legion of Doom. Animal. we're still on the IC title, Mike, and the co-host brings up the open challenge with Tyler Breeze that was on Raw a few weeks ago, saying that he saw it as a chance that maybe they would change the title, get it on Breeze, get it off out of the Dean and Seth feud because they really don't need it, which I agree with. This is a co-host. I agree. Animal laughs and says, Tyler Breeze is 180 pounds soaking wet. And goes on to say that Fandango is a job guy at wrestling, and that's all he will ever be and all he has ever been. I need to remind Joe Laurinaitis that this job guy beat Chris frickin' Jericho in his main roster in-ring debut. You know who's a job guy compared to Chris Jericho's legacy? Road Warrior Animal.
Yeah. I remember when you were a singles wrestler in WCW. Don't think everyone forgot. You fucking suck.
when they're further talking of TLC, Animal
says... I'd like
says,
to step in right there. Also, they completely negated the pop that Breeze got when he came out. Because he wanted to shit all over it. Oh, we're getting something new, but no one knew's winning that title. Well, it wasn't about fucking someone new winning the title, was it? It was about seeing fucking wrestlers that you like having opportunities that they didn't get before. No one expected Tyler Breeze to come out that fucking door. Prince Pretty wasn't walking out with the IC title. Don't be stupid. We tried that once with Jinder Mahal. It ruined everything. That's not what's happening. It was about
showing fresh matches,
showing a guy that is a crowd favorite. Everyone can acknowledge that this guy is a crowd favorite. Let him come out and put on a show with a top guy. He put on a hell of a match. With a good match with a top guy. It showed what he can do. It wasn't about fucking winning it. You would think that this guy would know. That, like, getting put in positions like this isn't about fucking winning or walking out with the title. It's about showing what the fuck you can do at the next level.
Yep. All right. Yep, exactly. That's all right, because he then goes on to, you know, continue bash TLC and say, I mean, where was Bayley? They, like, deleted one of their hottest stars. What the hell is he watching?
Yeah, she's definitely one of their hottest stars. Right.
If he'd have said Sasha, I'd at least said, look, Sasha's fans are vocal, but Bayley's fans aren't even that vocal anymore.
Nah, man, because all the 12-year-old girls turned into 14-year-old girls, and they all like Seth Rollins and Ronda Rousey now.
And Alexa Bliss.
Uh-huh. Charlotte, Becky Lynch. Like, do you not understand? Yeah, do you not get that this chick is only here to, like, get that, like, 7 to 10-year-old girl interest,
right,
and then transition them into, like, other people? That's it. That's all she's here for.
Like, when I saw the picture of Izzy, the biggest NXT fan ever, the biggest Bayley fan ever, that, like, for 2-3 years dressed like Bayley at every event, and then as she got older, she was now dressing like Alexa Bliss, I knew Bayley was in trouble. You need to change, girl. But Animal thinks you're one of the hottest acts in the company, so, hey, he's clearly in touch with what's going on. He also then he kind of says, like, don't even get me started on Daniel Bryan. He didn't like that match. We'll get into that. And he brings up the fact that his merch sales, him being Daniel Bryan, have been non-existent since turning heel, so he's not a good champion. What? Because isn't that the point?
It's the fucking point. He's a heel. His merch sales are supposed to go down. People are supposed to hate him.
So we talked earlier how he's saying you got to have clear good guys and clear bad guys because we're too dumb to understand shades of gray as fans. And then when you have an example, you cite an example of a heel trying to say that they're not good at being a heel, and your point is that he's not selling merchandise, which is the exact opposite of being a good heel. Like, if you're not selling merch when you were one of the top merch sellers in a company as a good guy, and you're not as a bad guy, you're doing a good fucking job at being a bad guy.
You're doing the best job at being a bad guy.
Right, right. So anyway, he goes on to say that he's tired of hearing the new Daniel Bryan. It's his name now, dumbass. Just like I'm tired of always hearing Road Warrior Hawk and Road Warrior Animal before being called the Legion of Doom. It's too much. Shut up. Anyway, he says that Daniel Bryan gets no heat, Mike. No heat. And he says that he feels sorry for AJ Styles because they should not have taken the championship off of him. And their match at TLC sucked. It, again, was awesome. And, I mean, was it a 6-star Tokyo Dome Kenny Omega match? No. But it was a 4-star WWE pay-per-view match, 100%.
Easily.
And then he says they probably should have just made AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan a tag team instead because they're both good workers.
No, he wanted them not only that, to turn AJ Styles into a heel, turn them both heel is what he wanted, and make them a tag team. Because everything comes back to tag team wrestling.
So... Which
I'm fucking just... telling you, man, we lost the wrong Road Warrior.
So he continues to say, but there'll be no good tag teams for them to work against. And then he brings up Gallows and Anderson. He says, don't even get me started on these guys. And then he like complains about how they're not good, and part of it is because their gear doesn't match. He also
Because this past week, because this is the only time I've ever seen these guys do this. This past week.
They always match.
Yeah. One of them wore the blue gear and one of them wore black.
Right.
And they're.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Wait. Oh, I have a good one with this one, too. He also goes on to say how Gallows comes out wearing, like, pleather pants. That's not what he called them, but that's what he was trying to say, like the fake leather, the pleather pants with like studs on them, and like, how can you look like a tough guy when you dress like that? I don't know, Kevin Nash, how can you look like a tough guy when you wear pleather pants?
Kevin Nash, let's see who else.
Undertaker,
the 3 years Triple H did it. Like, everyone wears pleather pants.
I mean, Gallows is literally like a modern-day Kevin Nash. Like, his moveset, his gear, everything.
Looks like his face.
Like... And you're going to sit here and tell me you can't dress like that and be a tough guy? Dude, this guy is just unreal. So he goes on to say that WWE, he's still talking about them, the club. WWE likes to repackage people who fans are familiar with, and he complains that they come from the Bullet Club and none of them have even tried to use the Bullet Club name.
Yeah, I know. Can you believe that they brought in the Bullet Club and they didn't even like try to call them the Bullet Club?
I know. You think that like maybe New Japan has that trademarked or something. I don't know.
Yeah, like who'd have thought that you just can't come in and like just call yourself whatever?
So the host actually corrects him and says, well, they can't.
And then, no, I love what he follows it up with. Well, like, who's even in the Bullet Club anymore? Isn't it just the Young Bucks, the only members of the Bullet Club left? Yeah, man.
Right.
Yep. The Bucks, that's it. The Young Bucks are the only members of the Bullet Club.
They
merged with the Click, and that's how we got the Bullet Click. And
the Bullet Click. So the host corrects him again and says, well, no, it's actually Haku's kids. And
Jay White
says, like, yeah, and Jay White, he doesn't bring him up, but, you know. And you know, says that the Bucks are part of the Elite now. And then Animal goes on to say, well, yeah, they obviously started that name because of the company to go with the company they're starting. They had that name way before this company was ever, at least in our vision and our field of the future. Like, this guy knows nothing.
No, he's, like, so completely out of touch. Between that and the Becky Lynch stuff, like, he's so unbelievably out of touch. It's really tiring to listen to him be so. It's like, he's like Jim Cornette, Vince Russo out of touch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So he discusses how Vince isn't going to change anything. They kind of get back into that, and you might have touched on some of this. I apologize if so. Co-host brings up Paige being removed, and he says maybe she's doing the Daniel Bryan thing, getting cleared to return, which I'm good for. I'm good with that. I hope that does happen. But Animal says, well, yeah, because she can carry the weight of the title. Ronda's great, but she's not ready. Charlotte's already had it, and this is where he actually gets into the, and Becky needs to back off the man thing and just be a white meat baby face that never gives up. And this is where he decides we should take, he's talking about, also talking about how, let me continue before I even get into it. He says she comes out strutting her stuff, acting like she's a tough guy, and no one believes it. No, I totally believe it.
Yeah, totally believe it. Everybody believes it. Have you listened to, like, literally every crowd she's been in front of for the last 4 to 5 months?
Yeah. He says that you have to work from a shoot perspective, and they're not letting their stars be stars. So he's basically saying they're not letting their stars be stars, but let's go ahead and strip Becky Lynch of everything that's making her a star right now.
I've said my piece on it.
Dude, he brings up Alicia Fox. He says, look at that. They gave her a new gimmick. He says she looks like something from, this is what he said, the Dr. Pepper's Lonely Heart Club. It's Sergeant Pepper, you idiot. And then he says, and she still gets beat up. If this guy hasn't figured out that Alicia Fox is basically a decent mid-carder who they can trust to have an okay match, but she's never going to be more than that, then I don't know what he's paying attention to.
Also, let's point out that a new color of hair and a new ring entrance outfit isn't a new gimmick.
She's still doing the same
exact thing. That's like
exactly.
It's like when they went to LOD 2000. All they did was add 2000 to their name and change their shoulder pads.
And put Sonny in there.
It was the same bullshit, except now you had Sonny. A reason to watch.
Oh, they then move into the whole Natty and Anvil storyline. And, you know, Animal says, you know, I kind of have a problem with it. You know, it was totally cool with Rey Mysterio coming out in a lowrider in tribute to Eddie Guerrero, and us Peyton hiding right up like a road warrior. That was a tribute to Hawk, and it was 6 years down the road, so who cares? But everyone else shouldn't be profiting off of someone else's death like they are with Natty and Amble.
You know what I liked is what he said. He was like, he said the difference between it was, I was friends with Hawk. Rey was friends with Eddie. And then he just stops talking right there. Like, he fucking realized he was about to say, and Natty's just his daughter.
Right, right. He then goes on to say, Natty's hotter than she's ever been. So after this angle that he is totally against, Natty's hotter than she's ever been and should take the title off of Ronda Rousey, according to Road Warrior Animal.
She's hotter than Rousey so, right now.
She's hotter than she's ever been, probably partially because of this angle.
Except on Monday when Ronda pinned her and everyone cheered.
Right, right. So, I mean, like, he's oh my God. So, anyway, he does say the women are stealing the show on the brand, on either brand. But again, with what he said earlier in the show, it's like a backhanded compliment.
We know that it's
he's
a
basically saying the women are only doing this because the men aren't good enough, is what he's saying. Let's just call a spade, that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
So the co-host goes on to say that with Roman out, this is probably the best time ever to have the women have a spotlight, possibly headline WrestleMania, and, you know, basically do that whole thing. And this was his response. He doesn't like say no, the women shouldn't main event. He doesn't get into the whole idea of Becky, Charlotte, Rousey. He says if they do things right, the main event will be Brock Lesnar versus Lars Anderson, is what he said. He meant Sullivan. So if they do things right, Mike, at this point in time, at all the storylines we've been seeing for the last 6 months, if they do things right, the main event will be Brock versus Lars.
And let's not forget, Lars will be a member of the Wyatt family.
Yes, and Lars will be a member of the Wyatt family because it didn't work to have the two other brothers and a monster added last time. At least they didn't let it work. So let's do it again.
Yeah.
He said that Lars does amazing things in the ring.
I don't know, man. Sometimes we get on here, and I know I'm supposed to be like the guy that gets all like shocked and says crazy, wild things, but like, sometimes I'm shocked to the point that I don't have anything crazy or wild to say.
Like, because what you just heard is so shocking, you can't even believe it.
Well,
like,
there's sometimes people say things so dumb that you like you just can't respond. You're just like, well, okay, well, okay. We're done here.
That was basically the end of the show. I will give props here. The one thing I agreed the most with him is the co-host brought up an idea that Bray Wyatt, because this is where Lars and Bray Wyatt, because the co-host was basically saying, like, Animal asked where he's been. The co-host said he's coming back. He's heard maybe with the tweets and stuff, maybe they're repackaging him. And Animal goes on to say, you can't change that gimmick. He's clearly over. When you see 20,000 cell phones lit up in an arena, you know that that gimmick is over. And I would agree with that to a point. I also would agree that you can't just completely, you can't come back with Husky Harris. It's going to be, even if it's a repackage, it still has to be the core form of Bray Wyatt. And to go with your prediction of last week, Mike, Bray Wyatt is going to do something substantial in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't want to sit here for 40 minutes and just shit on Road Warrior Animal and at least not give him credit for seeing that Bray Wyatt is over. But he also said Bayley's the hottest act and one of the hottest acts in the
company.
But
also, we are going to sit here and shit on Road Warrior Animal for 40 minutes.
And we just did for most of our show. So, I mean, I can't even add anything to this other than this just shows how all over the place not only fans can be, but people that used to be in the business can be. And it shows that, like, you know, Conrad Thompson, someone who we've listened to, both of us still listen to probably religiously at this point, once said something about how something on Raw wasn't very entertaining to him, but his daughter was really into it, and it's when it clicked in his head, this whole show isn't all about me. There's going to be certain things that the kids like, certain things that I like, and you just got to take it for that. And I think if we all would do that, man, we'd enjoy wrestling a lot more.
Yeah, they're trying to fit something in there for everyone. There's all kinds of different people from all walks of life that watch this show.
It's a variety show, man. Yeah. That's what it's always been.
Chill, man. Take away from what you want and don't watch what you don't want to watch. It's that simple.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Mike, I know we're on a tight schedule. I know Wrestle Kingdom's coming up. Do you want to take a quick break and talk about it real fast?
Yeah, I'll run through some predictions and the main storylines going on, and we'll get out of here.
Sounds good to me. Hang tight. We will be right back.
All right, welcome back, guys. I'm going to go ahead and take over here. Since I am the New Japan guy.
You are, normally, and this is your
normally
lead,
you
man.
Give me the heads up. Normally you're like, I'm going to let you take the lead here. And I'm like, all right. And then I know.
But I figured you'd figure this
not
one out.
Not this time. So we've got what is generally one of my favorite wrestling shows of the year. Wrestle Kingdom 13 is coming up. If you're listening to this show and you're not aware what Wrestle Kingdom is, I don't know what you're doing listening to us, but Wrestle Kingdom is New Japan Pro Wrestling's their WrestleMania. And I get super excited for this every year, maybe more so excited than Mania, because you're likely to see better matches than on Mania. And there's just something different about getting up at 2 a.m. To watch a wrestling show that runs from 2:30 to 8 a.m. It's just, I don't know. I always like the excitement of like setting that alarm and waking up, and it feels like the world hasn't quite come alive yet, but you're here watching this amazing wrestling show, and it feels like you're part of something special. Like Mania, you feel like you're part of it, but like you're part of it with every fan in the world. This has like a real special feeling. If you get up and watch, I recommend doing it one time in your life as a wrestling fan, doing the New Japan, the live watching of Wrestle Kingdom, because there is a special feeling to it. You feel like you're one of the elite, like, oh, I'm seeing something that no one else is seeing right now. But let's hop right into it. This is a big card. Now, this card has gotten shit on, kind of, for not being the greatest card ever. I think, personally, this is an amazing card. Like, you're looking at your opening match right now is the NEVER Openweight Championship. Kota Ibushi is defending against Will Ospreay. This is likely could steal the show. This is a match of the year contender right here, and it's the opening match. Ospreay just moved up to the heavyweight division. Ibushi did as well this year. So you've got two guys that are technically heavyweights, but are also, like, compete like juniors. And they're going to be battling it out. This is both their first, I believe this is Ibushi's first heavyweight title, even though the NEVER Openweight, the weight class for it's kind of iffy. But you're going to be seeing two guys that have made their name as juniors really starting to like make a name for themselves in the heavyweight division. I'm very excited for this match. Could be a show stealer. So that is your opening match. That's huge. The next match on the card they have, personally, I think that this is probably Ospreay's time to shine. I think they've got bigger things going on for Ibushi later in the year with Kenny Omega. As well, Ibushi's a guy that could at any point challenge for the IWGP heavyweight title and no one would think anything of it. Everybody would be like, yeah, seems right. So I think maybe like him losing is not going to hurt, and I think they've got bigger things planned for him if the Elite are actually leaving. So I look for Ospreay to capture this title. Second match, we've got the IWGP Junior Tag Title match. This is usually one of the more talked about matches on a Wrestle Kingdom card, is the Junior Tag Title match. I remember the first Wrestle Kingdom I ever watched, about 5 years ago, I saw the Junior Tag Title match open, and I saw things in the Junior Tag Title match happen that I'd never seen before ever in wrestling. I saw like moves that I'd never ever seen before. So look for this to be one of the matches that people talk about. You've got Kanemaru and El Desperado. They're going to be defending against Roppongi 3K and Bushi and Shingo. I personally am picking Roppongi 3K on this. I think as the faces going into this, there's going to be a lot. Wrestle Kingdom's a pretty traditional wrestling show. The faces tend to come out on top, and that's kind of how it works out. So I'm looking for Roppongi 3K to take this. Moving forward, this is actually an interesting matchup too. We've actually got the Rev Pro British Heavyweight Championship being defended here. Yeah, so Tomohiro...
That's interesting. I like
interesting,
this.
Right? That is neat. So we have Tomohiro Ishii is the champion, and he's going to be defending against Zack Sabre Jr. Earlier in the year, Ishii actually beat Minoru Suzuki, who is the leader of Zack Sabre's stable, Suzuki Goon, to win the title. So I think if Sabre wins, and I do think Sabre's going to win because he... they're going to want to start solidifying him as a junior capable of competing in the heavyweight division moving up to the heavyweight division, I think. This card right here in particular is going to... This card is impacted a lot in the prediction process by... We've got a lot of people whose contracts are up in the air. So the predictions on this... You're going to be looking for maybe like if the Elite, if we're looking at the Bucks, Cody, Kenny, if these guys are leaving, you're really looking at guys like Zack Sabre is going to be one of the people that they're going to look at to move up,
right?
To move forward. He's right. Going to be, you always need a gaijin. You always need a good, stable of gaijin guys that can attract that outside the Japanese market attention. So I really actually think that Zack Sabre Jr. is going to win this. It's going to be. A big win for him. He's going to be able to take the, you know, as being from England, he's British himself, so he's going to be able to take that British heavyweight championship back for England, and he's going to be able to bring that title back to Suzuki Goon. Look maybe for that to have some kind of play. Minoru Suzuki is a heel by every definition of the word, and I could see them wanting to move Zack Sabre Jr. as a face out of Suzuki Goon, so maybe look for there to be some strife within that group once if Zack Sabre Jr. wins that title. But I do think he's going to. After that, we've got another good match on the. This is personally one of my least looked forward to matches, and it has nothing to do with anyone here. It's just that to me, this card is so interesting that seeing another IWGP tag title match between the Gorillas of Destiny, the Young Bucks, and Evil and Sonata. Well, like normally that would be entertaining as fuck to me, and I'd love to see that. On this card, it's just not that interesting to me. The Bucks likely, and it has nothing to do with it. It's going to be a good match. I like all these people, but I just think that the storylines going on with the other matches and people that could be leaving, people that could be staying, I think that makes for some more interesting storytelling. The Bucks,
right.
They're not winning this, right. I don't think. I mean, they're gone. I really do think that the Elite are probably moving on. Lots of rumors already that this is the Bucks' last Tokyo Dome match. Evil and Sonata, they've got a lot of momentum rolling because after winning the World Tag League, so I'm going to go with them for the win here. Another title match on the card. Cody defending the IWGP US title against Juice Robinson. This is yet another one of those contract issue matches You can see, the whole card is basically built around the Elite and have them having contract issues.
Which is scary for the company, I think. Let me ask you this. Let's say All Elite's a thing. They're clearly not going to be ready for that. Do you think that they keep a working relationship with New Japan? I mean, they'd be dumb not to.
Yeah, I think you'd be dumb not to. I think you're going to see a lot of crossover promotion with them, probably.
I would think so, too. If that's the way they're going, then I would see... Let me say it like this. If that's the way they're going, then I wouldn't be surprised to see one of these guys hang on to win a title or hang on to a title. You know what I mean?
Well, I actually have Cody here as... Here's the thing. Cody, he recently dropped the NWA title.
Mm-hmm.
This could be a hint that he's given up his gold in the various territories that he works for.
Right.
So he can move forward with All Elite. I really think he is. I think Juice is getting the win here. I'm buying into the rumors for this card. I'm not going to lie. I think New Japan is going to start to... with this card, build for a future without the Elite. Now, some of these guys, yes, they have to. Some of these guys might pick up wins. You know, you might drag these stories out for another 6 months, you know. Maybe Cody picks up the win and Juice doesn't get it back until, you know, day after Wrestle Kingdom. Why can't I remember what it's called right now? But that's always a big day after Wrestle Kingdom. Or even Dominion later on in the year. But I am going for Juice with the win here on this one. Again, Wrestle Kingdom's a pretty traditional show. The faces generally win. This is a match. Our next one that we're going to talk about is the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title. This actually doesn't involve a member of the Elite, but is still clouded in controversy because rumors are that Kushida, the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion, is in talks with WWE. So the outcome of this match is going to maybe show you a little bit about what's going on. He's taking on Taiji Ishimori from the Bullet Club. I like Ishimori. I'm not a huge fan, but I do think the guy has a good future. Personally, I think Kushida's going to retain. I think he stays probably just a little bit longer if he does go to WWE. I'm also not sure how confident I am that these rumors are true. That brings us to our next match, which is one that has no controversy whatsoever. So thank God we can just talk about it like a regular wrestling match. This is the only match on the main card that isn't for a title. This is the only non-title main card match. There isn't the opening match, which we haven't talked about. I wasn't planning on it, but it's the pre-show match is a four-way dance for the Never. It's for the number one contendership to the Never Openweight six-man title. So I didn't feel the need to talk about that. But we've got Okada versus Jay White. Lots of storylines going into this match. This is Okada's longtime manager, Gato, turning on him to side with Jay White and the Bullet Club. Tama Tonga has also recently named Jay White the new leader of the Bullet Club. So he's got a lot to prove coming into that. Personally, I think the Rainmaker's going to pull out the win on this one. He's going to fight off the whole Bullet Club, come out looking like Sting in 1997, beating up the NWO, and he's going to pull out the win. But Jay White is going to look really strong in this loss. Jay White's going to look very good. But Okada, he's still the man over there. It doesn't matter. He's not in like one of the two main events, but well, I guess there's really only one main event. This is not WWE. He's not in the main event. He doesn't have the belt, but he's still Okada. He's still the guy there. So I think Okada's going to get the win over Jay White, but White is going to look very strong, and White's going to be one of these guys. If the Elite leave, like, it's no accident that Jay White's the leader of the Bullet Club right now, guys. Not at all. Once the Elite leave, Jay White is going to be, like I said, with Juice Robinson, Will Ospreay, Zack Sabre Jr., one of these gaijin that they're going to be looking at to pick up where the Elite guys left. After that, that brings us into my most anticipated match of the whole card, and I'm sure yours as well. The IWGP Intercontinental Championship.
Oh, yeah.
Chris Jericho versus Tetsuya Naito. Naito, I've gone on for years about here at the Nearfall Network. He's my favorite New Japan performer. Chris Jericho is literally my second favorite wrestler of all time. Jericho's been a dream in New Japan, has he not?
Yeah.
He's doing stuff that we never thought we'd see, but it's the time. I'm personally looking at this whole show as a reset button for New Japan.
Right.
And it's time to put the belt back on a full-timer, and it's time for Naito to get his revenge. With that being said, let's not forget Jericho has rumored to be a huge part of All Elite Wrestling.
Supposedly.
So you've got some factors going into this, but I definitely think this is Naito's time to get the revenge and get that belt back. And then last, but certainly not least, we've got our main event of the evening, Kenny Omega versus arguably the biggest star that New Japan's ever created. Their John Cena, the Japanese John Cena, or as they probably say over there, John Cena's the American. Tanahashi. This dude's 42 now, but if there's one thing he's proven over like the last year, it's that he's still got plenty left in the tank, same as John Cena. This is another one, man. Kenny's contract status makes this super tricky. I personally am going to go with Tanahashi. I think putting the belt back on the ace is going to be the best way to hit the reset button for them. It's kind of like, you remember in like 2013 when 2014 when John Cena, maybe he'd be out of the title picture for a while. And then out of nowhere, Cena'd get this title win. And it just kind of felt like that was a way to hit reset on WWE.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, no, we put the belt back on
Cena. Yep. We can start something fresh and new. And I know it sounds sounds weird that I'm saying we can start fresh and new by putting the belt on a 42-year-old man who's held it like six times or something. I'm not really
sure. But it's a safe call.
But it's a safe call, and it's a good way because you're going to be able to start bringing in storyline with Tanahashi. There's young and up-and-coming guys that are going to be able to go after him. You've got a storyline with Jay White that he had, so maybe Jay White steps up for the challenge now. Maybe we go back to the well. I wouldn't mind seeing Okada and Tanahashi continue their feud, but we're going to be seeing some interesting things, and it's a fresh way to move on without the Elite. And I know that there's been a lot of talk of fans have been really upset lately with a lot of New Japan's champions have not been actually Japanese wrestlers. So it's... there will be a good way to like quell that backlash. Right. I personally think it's bullshit, but you know, whatever. I'm not a Japanese guy. Maybe if I was a Japanese guy and I saw the champions were starting to turn white, I would have a problem. But I feel like maybe, you know, putting it back on the
Women though.
Yeah. No women. Putting it back on the greatest of all time, the greatest champion you've ever had, probably isn't a bad way to reset. So I'm looking for Tanahashi to pull out the win. I'm probably wrong about most of this, but I will be up watching this, doing live reviews. It airs next Friday, but it'll technically be Thursday night, you know, sleepy Thursday time. So it'll be Friday at 2 a.m. that this is going to be on. It'll be on New Japan World. Fight TV is doing it. I don't think Ring of Honor's promoting it this year because they don't have a match on it. But I will be up giving you guys live updates for it, doing some live video coverage on Facebook, on our Facebook page with it. I believe Mr. Vest will be as well. He generally is one of those guys that gets up and watches it. So we will definitely be giving you guys coverage of that, and we'll be recording the podcast next Friday. Literally, like,
so we can be one of the first ones to talk about it.
Literally hours after this has ended, so we can be one of the first to talk about it. So we'll be covering you guys on everything you need, building up to Wrestle Kingdom.
Yep, and you know, that's why I just sat back, let you take the lead. I'm kind of an outsider here. I enjoy it, but I don't nearly have the knowledge you do, not even close. So you will lead the way again when we talk about this. I'm interested to see where some of the stuff goes because I think it.
This card has
it's going to have a big impact on the wrestling business as a whole.
This card has so much to say about wrestling moving forward for the year 2019.
Regardless of how you feel about the card, it's going to impact the entire industry.
Well, if you have a problem with this card,
one way or another.
Yes, this is going to like impact the industry one way or the other. And again, if you have a problem with this card, get the fuck out. This card is brilliant.
I told you,
this card
is
fucking brilliant.
One
we
of
have
my
Chris
predictions.
Jericho defending the IWGP title against Freaky Tetsuya Naito. You've got Tanahashi coming at Kenny Omega, the old guard coming at the new guard. Are you kidding me? We've got the Rev Pro British fucking heavyweight title being defended. It's ridiculous.
Hey,
this card is ridiculously stacked. The opening match is the Never Open Weight Championship, Kota Ibushi versus Will Ospreay. How do you hate this? How's anyone upset with this?
Mike, you know what else? You know what other card was stacked? TLC from a few weeks ago, and people hated it. So, like I said, like my prediction from last week, I see fan unrest a continuing growing problem, and it's going to spread, man. And hey, maybe the Bucks can save us all, but maybe it's all a ruse. Who knows? Who knows?
Who knows? But I'm pretty interested. We're going to have a lot to talk about after this show, just as far as where just the show itself, but as far as like where we think the future of wrestling goes this year. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yep, absolutely. Well, guys, we want to wish everybody a happy new year. And Mike, you got anything else?
Nah, man, we're short on time today. I'm not going to give you shit.
I'm going to plan this so that I can get you to stop saying the shows that will never happen. If you're used to a special treat at the end of the show, that will be turning next week. Again, we're short on time. Didn't get the audio in from our two guest stars that pop in every now and again before this goes to the editing floor. So hopefully we'll squeeze a new episode of Finding AJ in next week. Right, Mike?
Yeah, definitely. They said they're very sorry, but, you know, holidays
and
everything.
We're paying these guys a lot of money to find our friend.
Yeah, but holidays and everything, man, you know, you can't. We're dealing with the fourth biggest actor in the world, too, so.
Yeah, I understand it. And a ghost, so It's a tough thing, but guys, I say it every week. It's been real. It's been fun. We will catch you next time.
You guys are beautiful. We love you. Have a great week.
Yeah, these guys are ready for the 24th and ready for the bench press contest in Greensboro.
Look! Take a look! Take a look! I guess you've been killing Warlord Barbarian! We've been doing a little bit of bench pressing in the ring and bench pressing in the gym! We ain't playing around! We've built our reputation on being a couple of bad apples from Chicago! Being the strongest men in professional wrestling, and we ain't gonna let you or anybody else try to ruin our reputation. All these people are gonna see Greensboro not very long away who the strongest wrestlers are in the world. Tell them, Hawk.
Tony Schiavone, don't you look swell today? Oh boy. Hey, listen up. There's been a lot of sports writers and sports editors flapping their yaps about us getting soft. Does this look soft to you, Paul? Does this look soft to you? Well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. There's one part of our bodies that's soft, and it ain't soft all the time, if you catch my meaning. Ric Flair! New York City, Ric Flair! You're gonna find out what hard is all about, because from the time I get in the ring with you, Guppy, it's gonna be a hard night, all night long, and you can forget about your limousines, your pretty girls, and your diamond rings, because they don't mean diddly do squat when I get done with you. When I get done with you, Space Mountain will be closed for repairs. Tell them, Paul.
You know, Tony Schiavone, I've heard Paul Jones talk, and it appears to me he has a monomaniacal obsession with the Legion of Doom. Well, there's two places I know you'll be able to find us. One is January 20th in Hawaii, and the next day is January 21st in L.A. So if you're feeling froggy, Paul Jones, just jump in. You and your men, we're going to be in Hawaii, and L.A. will be looking for you.
Yeah, we snack on danger, and we dine on death.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back.